This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ooh, Cheryl.
Ooh, Tig.
What people don't know when they're listening to this is your internet went out and we had a 20-minute break.
We had a little break, yeah.
Yeah.
But we came back. We finished it.
We came back. We did a strong finish. We got in there.
We covered a lot of stuff. We covered unicorns and IPOs and business, our vast knowledge of business.
Vast knowledge of business.
Okay, ladies and jerks, welcome to WeWork or the Making and Breaking of a $47 billion Unicorn.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Tig?
Cheryl Hines.
You sound like you're holding your nose.
Well, I am. With mucus.
You're a little congested.
I am. I've been sick, and I have been in bed, and I've had a fever.
Wow, this is a lot. I don't know that I needed all the details, but go ahead.
Well, you brought this up. I was going to ignore it and let our listeners think
hear.
I had a clothespin on my nose the whole episode.
But you're going to make it through and you feel good about doing this is my question.
Well, you never know with me, but I think I'm going to make it through. You know what?
What?
Did you see Thomas, our producer, sent us an article? We were written up in something about
look, once again why
I don't
would we,
I don't why would we
why would
look
we
at
take
details
time to reference it in a no it was a nice write-up I also
yeah.
don't remember
it was like TV stars movie star actors maybe that's what it is
yeah.
actors that have podcasts and we were with legitimate people like
like that we were with legitimate people.
I don't know why I see us as low rent, but
it was Collider. We just found out. Yeah, but it was a nice article.
Thank you, Collider.
They seem to like it.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready to dive into this?
I am. Are you?
Yeah, I'm ready. Had you seen this before?
Honestly, I just forgot what we were doing.
Tick.
What tick. Episode?
This is the WeWork.
Oh, right. Yeah. WeWork. No, I had not seen it. Had you?
No. But I felt like I knew what WeWork was.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, oh, this is not what I thought.
I knew what WeWork was because I actually was an investor in a company similar to WeWork that was for women and mothers and
it's called
Work It Girl.
It's a community space called Work It Girl.
No, it's actually called the Jane Club.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a community workspace, and Stephanie and I invested in it, and our friends, so many friends of ours started this company. One of them, June, Diane, Raphael. Anyway, it's a really cool company, and it has a huge online presence, and women from all over the world get together and work and network and work in person, and there's childcare and all sorts of stuff. But
that's cool. Like physical spaces, physical offices.
There's an actual physical space, and then there's also an online community where they also have speakers. And one of my favorite things is they'll curate these nights where you get on a Zoom, you sign up for different Zooms that interest you, whether it's a talk or a get together. And one of them is like, you have wine and you bring your dog and you sit on Zoom and talk to women all over the world. And everyone's having wine at the same time with their little poodle or whatever.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. But anyway, so I was very aware of this world and very aware of trying to get a business like this off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this.
Well, I just told you.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
So why bother? Yeah. You just left it on the floor.
All right. Should we do it again?
No. Okay, let's tell everybody what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Today we're talking about WeWork, or this is the whole title, or the making and breaking of a $47 billion unicorn.
Which I have to say.
Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with the term unicorn.
I wasn't either.
And I just thought that was a very silly title for the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll get, let's.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
Making a Breaking of a $47 billion Unicorn is a 2021 documentary written and directed by Jed Rothstein. And the film chronicles the rise and fall of WeWork, a tech startup real estate company hybrid, co-founded by charismatic leader Adam Neumann. And the film premiered at South by Southwest and is available to watch on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody that doesn't know what WeWork is, this guy, Adam Neumann, wanted to start a community space where people, especially entrepreneurs and small businesses, could use one big office space so they didn't have to rent a whole building. They didn't have to buy their own furniture. They would have
very similar to the Jane Club.
Which I love. I love that thought and I love that idea.
That concept is incredible.
Yeah. And this WeWork became very popular very quickly. Because people were ready for it. They were, you know, especially this generation.
They were ready for it. They didn't even know they were ready for it. It was sitting there. It's one of those ideas where it's like, oh, of course. I mean, when I was watching the movie, I was just like, well, yeah. Why hasn't this been, what's been going on?
Right. That you either couldn't afford to rent an office space or you worked in sort of a stuffy office with somebody else's rules and all of that. So this guy, Adam Neumann, came to America and had many bad ideas. He was from Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he came, he's sort of a dreamer, if you will.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with dreamers.
No. And in the way that you dream big, yeah, you have big ideas and you want to make them happen. Well, one of his earlier ideas was a business called Crawlers.
Oh, yes.
Which were knee pads for babies. Because when babies crawl, I guess he was worried about their knees getting
Hurt. Bruised. Uncomfortable.
Yeah, so he made little baby pants with built-in knee pads.
Aw, little baby pants. Now, it's funny because, I mean, I don't even think babies have kneecaps yet.
Right.
When they're that age.
Yeah.
And so you're projecting as an adult Because I remember when I was, when I was little, I remember I would be climbing on things and falling off of stuff and just sliding around on my knees and elbows. And I remember older people going, oh gosh, that would kill me. And I remember thinking, I don't feel any of this. I was just like,
why are you worried? It's not a big deal.
And why does it hurt you? Yeah. And then obviously time moves on.
And you grow kneecaps
and your body isn't just cartilage anymore.
Yeah.
And then you develop osteoporosis.
Yeah. Okay. We get it. And so Adam, I guess, was very concerned about baby's knees. And made the crawlers.
He's one of the big dreamers out there in the world.
And then for whatever reason, crawlers did not take off. I wonder if you can get them online. Once again, we could have looked it up.
Well, you know, there's a slow pan down in the movie when they mention knee pads for babies. And I was really thinking it was going to be like volleyball player knee pads.
Same. Like Keith Raniere knee pads.
Yeah. And so when it panned down, it was just pants with padded knees. It
felt
like,
a little better.
Yeah, but it was also like not as interesting to look at. And, you know, I want to see, it's like one of my early jokes was about, I want to see a baby taking a shower. To me, that's a funny visual to walk into a shower and see an infant wobbling, trying to stand there. I want to see an infant with knee pads on and trying to navigate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then this guy, Adam, is in America. He meets this guy named Miguel McKelvey. And they both grew up in communes. Adam grew up in Israel and Miguel grew up in Oregon. And they both grew up in communes. So they both had this connection of, oh, people work better when they're together.
And what's your feeling on a commune?
Well, I don't have any personal experience with it because it does not sound like anything I would want to get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feeling?
I don't know that I want to live on a commune in the way that maybe these people did or how you might picture.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love the idea of having a close group of friends or family that you would want to see regularly or...
I agree with that too, because it's like raising kids is hard and it's really
hard. Takes a village.
It takes a village. But does the village need to live under the same roof? I don't know. But maybe it would be fun.
Maybe. I don't know. Do you want to start a commune with me?
Oh, I wanted you to go undercover. Although, can you go undercover in a commune? They don't care.
Well, and it's hard to go undercover when you are a famous action star.
Oh, yeah. They'll be like, oh, this is a hot tig.
Yeah.
But they, hashtag. I think, would still welcome you into their commune. I think that would be like big news.
Real big bonus.
And everybody, this is the question about communes, and I don't have a good sense of it. Is it like, I don't know, it sounds like there's a lot of
what
sex partner swapping going on. Do you think that's part of the commune situation?
I don't know.
Well, our listeners will tell us. But I think that's part of it too, is like
sex swapping?
I do know a guy who still lives in a commune who said that he was with this one woman for many years and then, you know, they sort of broke up and switched partners, but they're all still in the same commune.
They do-si-do'd.
So that's different than, you know, swapping sex partners every Thursday. I don't know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's clear that you don't. the more you talk about it.
The clearer it is that I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
But so these guys get together.
Mm-hmm.
They come up with this idea to, did you get the feeling that they bought these buildings? No, they just rented these buildings.
I thought they bought them and then it seemed like they were renting them.
Yeah.
And then there was another point where I thought, did they buy them?
Yeah, it's a little unclear, but buildings in New York that people are not really paying attention to, they would rent or buy. You guys watch it and tell me what you think.
And there's no way for us to know.
There's no way for us to figure out this detail. And then they, especially Adam. Adam was the face for the company, if you will. And
sure.
They would,
even
if you won't, he did it. They would arrange it in a very cool way, mm-hmm. with all glass sort of partitions and little offices and a community space with a community kitchen. And a lot of them had like beer on tap. A lot of them you could make a cappuccino.
I love cappuccinos, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm glad we found that out. I love beer. No, I don't love beer. I used to. Anyway.
What kind of beer?
Well, I mean, I used to drink like...
What?
Like Michelob Light. I don't even know if they make that anymore.
Hello, Florida. Hello, Florida.
On ice, by the way. With a glass of ice. That just tastes like water with a few bubbles.
You know, I used to really enjoy... first of all, I used to never drink beer. I didn't like it.
Okay.
And then I think in my mid-30s, I started to enjoy beer.
Wow.
And I I really came around, and I liked darker to mid dark. I don't even know. I don't know the terminology.
Clearly, mm-mm. Golden or something.
Yeah. And now the closer to water it is, the more I like it. I've really come.
Around to Michelob Light on ice.
yeah, truly. And I used to not drink much at all, and now I really drink less, and now I drink non-alcoholic beer.
Because you don't want the side effects of beer?
Well, for health reasons.
Oh, I see. Well, listen, if you worked at WeWork, I'm sure they could put in a keg of non-alcoholic beer for you.
Non-alcoholic Heineken, have you had it?
No.
It is...
Delicious?
It tastes exactly like Heineken.
Well, see, I feel like if that's the case, then I would rather just have Heineken.
Okay, well...
That being said,
mm-hmm.
there's a time when I feel like, you know what? I don't need the alcohol, but I would love the taste of beer.
And to be fair, you always need the alcohol.
I do.
Yes.
Okay, so these guys get together,
mm-hmm.
and they have a lot of little startup companies that are sharing this workspace. And mm-hmm. They have some of the company names of the companies that are sharing this space.
Yes.
Are pretty fantastic. Do you want to hear some of the companies that are all sharing a WeWork space?
Of course.
Everyone wanted to be an entrepreneur. We all want to raise $10 million.
I'm the founder of BrunchCritic.com.
Our company is Smileback.
Co-founder of You Plan Me.
ScrollKit.
Consumer.
Handshake.
Wifling.
Spindos. Scruff.
Yoink. Room Hints. The company is Beer to Buds.
Oh. Beer to Buds.
I like the Brunch Critic lady.
I like Boink.
Yeah, it's hard to know what that business is about.
Yeah, it feels like it's kind of open for whatever.
It could be.
Boink, can you hold, please? Oh, no. Boink.
Boink, no, we don't have a buffet. Okay, so people are very excited about this. And they decide, it sounds like Adam decides he loves this WeWork, We community so much that he wants to have a summer camp.
Yeah.
For everyone that rents at WeWork, is that what you got? I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into that.
It sounds fun.
It does. I mean, you're going out there, you're having more beer, you're like, I mean, I it's not my world, but when I watched it, I thought, I can see how this would appeal to people.
Yeah, it was a 72-hour weekend rager. Mm-hmm. And somebody described it as...
Can you picture me at a rager?
A 72-hour nonstop.
Can you picture me at a 72-hour nonstop rager?
I mean, they're doing like funnels of beer. They're doing shots. And they're jumping
all
around.
All I picture is me walking through that going, excuse me.
Can you guys turn down the music? It's a little
Or just
loud.
Trying to get through. Just excuse me. Just trying to get out to the lake here. Excuse me. I just want to look at the water. Excuse me.
I get to get my water skis on, you guys. Excuse me. And somebody described it as the Fyre Festival done right. They loved this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody realized, oh, it's kind of, it's starting to get a little cult-like.
Uh-huh.
They would listen to Adam give speeches, and Adam's wife.
Uh-huh.
What's her name? Rebecca.
Yes, Rebecca.
Rebecca sort of turned into a founder.
Yeah.
Adam/guru. Spiritual guru. Oh, but you know what I thought was interesting? Did you notice, or were you getting a snack at this point? Like, you later find out that they would have tracking devices. People that were going to these WeWork, you know, conventions and meetings. So mm-hmm. the WeWork people would know if they were there listening to the speeches or not.
I must have been having a snack. I don't know how I missed that.
It was a small little detail.
Mm, okay.
So
I was on NyQuil.
I do feel sorry for you. Should I worry about it? No. You're on your, mm-mm. you're mending.
Yeah, amending.
But what happened was people were so excited about WeWork that everybody wanted to get involved in it
mm-hmm.
and started investing.
Yeah.
Venture capitalists.
Yes.
People really wanted to be a part of this. They were all thinking, oh, this might be like the next
Google or Uber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they all wanted to get in on it. And then the next thing you know, the company is valued at $1.6 billion.
That's a lot of money.
Crazy. You want to tell people what a unicorn is?
Just like a little horse with a horn on the forehead of the horse. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, especially with children's toys, they'll be rainbow colored
Mm-hmm. Also, in terms of business, a startup that's valued at $1 billion is called mm-hmm. a unicorn because it just doesn't happen very often.
Right.
I guess it does happen, but hardly ever.
Yeah, just like unicorns. They're very rare.
Very rarely
do you actually see one in person.
But we can't
in
rule
real
it
life.
Out. They're like Sasquatch.
Yeah, but sometimes you do see them. It's just so rare.
It's very rare.
Very rare.
Very rare.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tig, the point is that this guy, Adam, I mean, we all see this is like turning into a train wreck because you know something bad is going to happen. He's now buying a private jet. He's living the life.
Not a good sign.
He and his wife are having a ball. And meanwhile, his employees are like, I don't want to say barely getting by. I don't know. But they weren't getting paid what they should have been getting paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a guy. What was the other guy's name? Mm-hmm. The richest man in Japan.
Oh,
Masa-san.
Yeah, Masa-san.
And so he decides that he also, well, Adam wants to get involved with Masa-san. And Masa basically says,
yes. I'm listening.
Basically says, he said, look, if a smart guy and a crazy guy get in a fight, which one wins?
Crazy. Yeah. Is that who you picked in your head when in that moment?
Did you pick crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Masa-san said, right, but you're not crazy,
crazy enough.
Which I think
so
really...
here's 4 billion.
Yeah, so he gave
four
him
4 million.
No, billion.
Was it 4 billion?
Yes.
Right.
He gave him $4 billion.
Which only proves that Masa-san is crazy.
Is nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, because Masa-san, he had his own vision that the world is going to be taken over by AI, mm-hmm. that all the computers in the world, all the robots in the world are going to get smarter than the people and take over. And people were like,
I can't argue.
That sounds right.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
So Masa-san was raising like $100 billion.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot. I mean,
do you have that kind of cash?
Yeah, yeah, I do. You want me to write you a check for a few
billion?
Are
you a unicorn?
Unicorn. I myself am a unicorn.
This podcast is a unicorn.
This is a unicorn.
Oh, it's a precious little unicorn. If somebody would just invest $4 billion,
we could do stuff.
We could do stuff. If we had $4 billion.
Well, these guys, they started a We Live community.
And then everyone moved in together, right?
Yeah, like these 25-year-olds, and they moved into this building, and their actual living space was like 200 square feet. They had like little beds that pulled, you know, the Murphy beds that pulled down.
Yeah.
Have you ever slept on a Murphy bed?
No, but we considered getting one for our office space.
I know, they're so cute.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, are they good or is it just like...
Well, I'm sure you can buy a nice Murphy bed. They also have beds that are in a dresser that looks like a dresser. Yeah. And you open a drawer, quote unquote.
Oh, are you making this up?
Well, no, I'm not making it up. I'm just saying that the mattress is folded up within the cabinet. So it looks like you have like a dresser.
That does not sound comfortable.
And then you pull it and then it slides out and then you sleep in that.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh, sure.
This is about bedding and beds.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what a trundle is?
Yeah.
Here's what I don't understand about the trundle beds, right? It's a mattress that pulls out from underneath the bed.
Yeah.
But it stays on the ground.
Uh-huh.
So that you have one person sleeping on the bed and then one person sleeping on the ground on the trundle mattress?
Yes.
Who thought of that? And that's a terrible design, don't you think? Because... how does the person that's on the upstairs mattress, like if they have to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, are they just stepping on the person on the floor mattress?
I'm assuming it's a civilized person that can roll over, open their eyes, feel around or look.
But even there's no place for them to
There's
no place for them to There's no place for them to step.
I think it's to conserve space and maybe it's a better idea than having no other option.
I would rather sleep on the floor in a sleeping bag away from somebody.
Well, then get on the floor. Get on the floor, Cheryl. Nobody's making you sleep in this imaginary trundle bed.
I don't understand trundle beds.
Well, it's just interesting that you brought up trundle beds and Murphy beds. And then I added the cabinet bed because we are truly in the middle of looking at options to create sleeping space for our office. Because we have a pull-out couch and we have an inflatable mattress.
I like those.
Well, great. You can come over and sleep at our office. But we're just trying to create more sleeping options because when we have people in town for the holidays, our office is an actual house. Mm. And so it's nice to be able to put people in our office.
In a bed.
Yeah.
I would say,
look at this. We're not doing trundle. But you know what? We need to take a break and then we can come back and we can start shopping online for different bedding options for my office. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, we're back. Okay, listen, let's barrel through, if you mm-hmm. will. Okay, so things
even
are going
if you
great.
Won't.
Even if you won't. Things are going great.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're doing We Live Space, and now Rebecca wants to do We Grow, which is a new
school,
which is all fine. And then they start growing and growing, and now they're valued at $45 billion.
Lot of unicorns.
So many unicorns. And then at some point, Adam and Masa were working on a $20 billion plan. At some point, Masa decides, I don't want to do it.
Uh-huh.
And it was a big red flag.
He's crazy, but he's not that crazy. He's $4 billion crazy.
But he's not $20 billion.
He's not $20 billion crazy.
I like that. That is where he draws the line. He's like,
oh, hell no.
He was like, you have me. $4 billion, I can see, but
absolutely.
$20
billion? $20 billion. What, you think I'm crazy?
Yeah. I am crazy, but I am not
$20 billion.
Jesus, you're blowing my earballs out. So now they're talking about taking the company public with their uh-huh. IPO.
What does IPO stand for?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. I'm sure it's... I think it's like, I don't know what it stands for. Maybe Thomas can tell
well,
us.
Well, no. Let's guess.
Oh, I think it stands for...
International?
Individual?
People
organizing stuff.
That's IPOS. That's a totally different thing.
I think, what do you think it is? Investment? Probably. Overall.
Oh, no. Investment, probably overall.
I'm pretty sure that's what IPO stands for.
Wait, it stands for I'm pretty, because you said I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty overjoyed.
I'm pretty, oh no.
Optimistic.
Osteoporosis.
I'm pretty osteoporosis. And then you show it to people and they're like, yes, I want to get involved.
I have osteoporosis. Here's $40 billion.
Because I'm crazy. So whatever it means, people know that that means that you're getting ready to go public.
I mean, as soon as people hear IPO, they're like, okay, they're about to go public.
So
I'm pretty sure, okay, is what it is.
But where's the S? I'm pretty okay.
Pretty okay.
God, we should be teaching some serious business classes at Harvard.
Oh my gosh.
They could use us.
How far into our first lecture would we be found out?
We don't know what IPO stands for.
First of all, when we walk into the classroom and we're laughing right as we're walking in, that would be a tip off that we're cackling like this.
They're like, wow, these ladies are serious.
You start.
No, you go. I've got nothing. No, you go. I didn't read the thing.
Today's class, we're going to talk about IPOs.
And unicorns with horns.
Rainbow colored.
So they are coming out with their IPO. And people, and they have to show people that are thinking about investing in the business. Here's what we've done. Here's how much it's cost. Mm-hmm. Here's what we project to make. And people are reading this going, huh, this is bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't even make sense. And it's not a tech company.
Right.
And they were like, they were told it was a tech company. And it's, mm-hmm. they did, I guess, provide like a network in the buildings, but nobody used it. Mm-hmm. They're still using their regular, you know, Google or what have you.
Yeah.
So people are like, why is this valued at $45, $46, $47 billion?
He thought nobody was going to pay attention to
to what was actually going on.
Yeah.
That nobody would read the, is it the IPO?
We don't know, Cheryl.
Is that the literature?
I don't know. Cheryl?
Just stop.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
IPO. Okay,
remember, I have a seventh grade education.
But people are now reading this.
When you go public, people are going to get all your information.
Yeah, and they're realizing, oh, this is like smoke and mirrors. It's a dog and unicorn show. See what I did? Instead of pony, I changed it to unicorn. To fit this particular...
Well, that's why you're famous for your improv skills on Curb Your Enthusiasm. You can just throw something like that in there.
And
we're all left just like, how did she do that?
How did she come up with those at the last minute? Do you want to hear Adam?
Sure. Did you like Adam? Let's not talk about it till we talk about who's hot and who's not.
Yeah. Because, by the way, there were a lot of hot people in this. It's all like 25, 30-year-olds. They're all attractive.
Oh, is that what you're into? Interesting.
I think any 25 or 30-year-old is going to be attractive. Okay, here, let's listen to a clip.
Okay.
We started by taking buildings. We cut them up to small spaces. We built everything from glass, so it's very communal. It's very see-through and transparent. We put in common spaces, and we basically created a community of small businesses, entrepreneurs, and freelancers. And in that community, people are almost forced to help other people. And when you have a business community that's built on these kind of moral standards, everybody becomes more successful.
It all makes sense.
It does. And he's talking about moral standards and helping each other and everybody's working together.
But
although
he feels...
There's no talk of tech. Yeah.
Right. But he's one of those people where he just feels the whole time like you can't trust him.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
Yes. Because even at the very beginning, which we'll talk about, you see him... You see him explaining the company, and at first you're like, wow, this is a good-looking guy with a, you know, sort of a sexy accent.
Teach his own.
Okay. And dressed nicely. Okay, you can't argue with that.
Well, I mean,
and he talks with conviction and with passion. Mm-hmm. So I guess a lot of people were very taken with him. And so now at this point in the film... He's supposed to, before the IPO comes out,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the actual, it doesn't matter.
What were you going to say? You don't know if it's
If an IPO is the actual, you know, are those the pages that people look at? Or does IPO mean we're going, is it just like a term like we're going public? Okay, it doesn't matter. Anyway,
I can't wait till people write and let us know.
Oh, God. Why didn't we look this up before we started?
We don't have time.
So now Adam they're about to go public, and they want him to do a video of him explaining the company, explaining.
It didn't go well.
It did not go well. A lot of flop sweat going on. He can't do it. This guy who is always talking, always, and the whole shoot, it's just a disaster. And then the next morning, he tells everybody, we're not going public.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, everybody freaks out. Everybody's taking their money out. And he leaves the company.
Yes.
With a $1.7 billion payout.
That's insane.
I don't...
How does that happen?
I don't know. I guess the other people at WeWork still believed in WeWork, wanted to save the company, and the only way to save the company is to get rid of Adam, the old ball and chain that's really brought the company down. So they said, if you leave, we will run the company. And I guess he said, well, for $1.7 billion, I'll leave. Wouldn't you love somebody to hate you so much that they would give you $1.7 billion to leave?
Absolutely.
It's like, if we never have to see you again, I'll give you $1.7 billion.
Billion.
I mean, why didn't they just stop at $1 billion? It doesn't matter. But the point is, all these people now that have been working for him are basically screwed.
Mm-hmm.
They've been fired. They've been let go. These people thought that they had equity in the company.
That was nothing. It added up to nothing.
To nothing. And now...
It's like when he was going public and thinking nobody was going to look into the details. The employees also... He had reason to think that because the employees didn't look into... You know, what they
had. The details. Right. Well, what about all the investors? Like all these smart people, you know, these real estate tycoons. Nobody.
What is a tycoon?
No. A tycoon. If I had to verbalize what I think a tycoon is, I would say it's a person who monopolizes real estate. What would you say it is? If you had to say.
It sounds like so many different things, you know?
It sounds dangerously close to a typhoon.
It does sound dangerously close to a typhoon, but also a cocoon.
Which is very sweet.
It's so sweet. A real estate cocoon.
That woman was a real estate cocoon.
Yeah, she's so sweet.
She's so sweet.
Cut us a deal.
She had so many properties.
So many properties.
But she wrapped
very
us
generous.
Up in her love and gave us a good deal.
Gave us a great deal. Meanwhile, this guy, real estate tycoon.
It is weird that all these people, nobody paid attention to. This isn't a tech company. It's a guy who is renting office space and putting in cappuccino machines.
I love cappuccinos.
I've heard. And so you would think, why did they get so swept up in it? Because he was selling the idea of making the world a better place, making people better, working together, everybody coming together.
It's appealing.
Together.
It's appealing
it's
to work
appealing.
Together, to make the world a better place.
It's very
when you
very
feel like you're really involved in that type of movement, why would that not appeal to people?
And it did.
And it did.
And sadly, people got...
Screwed.
Bitten in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moral of the story.
If you made
if
a
you
real
want
estate
to make
cocoon,
the world a
better place,
you're gonna get it. Yeah.
You're gonna get screwed.
Yeah. You know?
Oh, you're gonna talk like this.
People
he didn't get screwed. That's the problem is Adam didn't get screwed.
But was he... That's my other... This is my question. Was he genuinely trying to make the world a better place?
Or was it like crawlers and he was just trying to make a buck? Well,
can you imagine making billions of dollars off of knee pads for infants and just like flying around on a jet, smoking a cigar? You got chicks on your lap and pouring whiskey and it's all because babies' knees have padding. You know, you're on a yacht and just living the
life,
snorting coke, Because babies need...
They need some knee pads. Paddock. I mean, it's almost like I wish that's what would have happened instead of this, because all these people got screwed over. I mean, at least the babies...
Didn't need the product in the first place.
They didn't need it, but it probably didn't hurt them.
Yeah, it didn't hurt them. It didn't help them. It's like...
Right. It was like... It was
didn't
like,
need it.
Nobody needed it. But, but they got it.
Oh my gosh. I'm just thinking of sitting around my house and saying, Stephanie, I just had the greatest idea. Knee pads for babies. And taking it so far to where the product is made.
Yeah, made. And babies are wearing them.
And nobody's buying.
But nobody says to you, by the way, it's a dumb idea.
Is it because he's charismatic? I
found
him
very well. Yeah.
I found him off-putting, and I felt like
He didn't seem genuine, and he
But I guess you don't really need to be genuine to be
a leader.
Yeah.
You just need to be charismatic and passionate and sound like
probably
you know what you're
if probably if you look at these personality types, they're all full of it.
Yeah.
You know? And some find the way and others don't.
Yeah.
You know, that's legit or legal.
Yeah.
And then illegit and illegal. But I mean, truly, it seems like there's certain personality types.
Yeah, definitely. There's a certain. I mean, we've seen this watching different documentaries, right? About the little blood vial. What was that called? Oh, what's her name?
Little blood vial. That was the documentary. Theranos.
Theranos, and then we had Keith Raniere, the cult leader. They're full of bullshit, but they are very passionate, and they talk with conviction, and people are like, wow, I like what you're saying. And that's what happened here. And by the way, WeWork is still happening now. There are still WeWork spaces.
I mean, how are they doing? I mean, of course.
I don't know. I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't look either. It
up. Are you ready for some final thoughts?
Yes.
Okay, it's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not. Did you?
No. No. Okay. Who were you attracted to?
Who was I attracted to? Ashton Kutcher?
Oh, yeah. Ashton Kutcher was in it. I forgot about him. I'd like to change my answer to Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, is it Ashton or Ashton? Who?
Ashton.
Ashton. Now, who was your person before?
Well, see, because now when I watch these documentaries, I really am, you know.
Looking to see who you.
Yeah. So at the beginning of this film, you see Adam, and he's attractive, and he's got the suit on, and he's got the accent, and he's articulate. And then he starts sort of flubbing his lines and having to start again, which is slightly endearing.
Wait, you were attracted to Adam?
Don't try to humiliate me in front of our listeners. I'm telling you the history of my attraction to Adam.
I am stunned.
For 1 second, you weren't attracted.
No. No.
And then do you know when it...
And then what?
And then in that beginning, when he keeps going back and starting over, and then when he...
I was like,
When he lifted his leg.
Lifted his leg? What?
To fart.
You liked that?
No, I'm saying that's when I was like, okay, I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I
thought
am...
you were saying that's where you were like, I'm all in.
That's what I'm looking for, guys.
Oh my gosh.
That's when I was like, ugh, this guy is so gross.
I love that it took that for you to catch on.
Well, because at first I felt like it is hard to look into a camera and do all your lines, and I understand.
Not for me. Get them down every time.
Everybody can't be as great as you. But yeah, I'm going to say Ashton Kutcher. That's right.
No, Ashton's mine. He's my man.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, the one
You're
girl...
stuck with Adam. What no. one girl? What
I know,
one
I'm not going to be stuck with Adam.
What one girl?
The one girl that ended up crying at the end with long hair who was working closely with him, and she was, you know...
I'm going to stick with Ashton Kutcher.
I would also like to go with Ashton Kutcher.
No, no, no. He is spoken for.
I'm going to go with Ashton.
And okay. Did you read in the news about Ashton recently?
No. What's the news?
That he and his wife, what's her name?
Mila Kunis.
That they don't take baths very often. They just clean their privates and head out for the day.
That's very European, right?
And they said, if you see dirt on your body, sure, wipe that off. Otherwise,
let it ride.
Head on out. Let it ride and let it stink.
I don't think that's their motto.
Let it ride and let it stink.
Are you saying let it stink?
Yeah. Let it stink and let it ride.
Well, by the way, I've been around
both of
them.
Brought to you by Ashton Kutcher and Camila
Kunis. I've been around both of them, and they both spell delightful. Whatever they're doing, I think they should keep doing it.
I don't have a problem with them letting it stink and let it ride.
Okay. Well, let's tell everybody what's happening next week.
What is happening?
Next week's documentary is Jesus Camp.
Oh, I've seen that.
Which you can watch on Hulu or Pluto TV.
That sounds made up.
Also, you can buy True Story merch at podswag.com/truestory.
I got my mug.
Yeah.
Did you get anything?
I got a mug and I got a t-shirt and I got a hoodie. But now I feel weird. Like, are you going to wear a t-shirt with your picture on it?
Oh, hell yeah.
I just see myself going through the airport with a picture of myself on the back of my... It just feels so weird. Would you like to hear some true fan mail?
Yeah, of course. Always.
Leslie M. emails us to ask, my husband and I both enjoy your show, but just
Thank
recently
you.
He started saying, hey girl, hey.
Oh boy.
Frequently and seemingly at random. He's not using it correctly and it's driving me bonkers. I know you're not an advice podcast, but what do I do? This is so tough.
Well, we're not an advice podcast, so I
but,
say...
But she needs advice.
Too bad. Sounds like your problem. What you get for marrying a man.
I just love that this guy is like just walking around saying, hey, girl, hey.
I know. I wish she had given an example.
Yeah. Is it like he's doing the dishes just saying, hey, girl, hey?
I do that.
Like to nobody?
It's fun. But also, can't you just say... You're getting on my nerves or you're using it wrong?
She doesn't want to because it's so sweet that he's involved and he's having such a good time saying, hey, girl, hey. It's like if she says one thing, he's never going to say, hey, girl, hey again.
Okay, that sounds like that's the
I
best
know, but
option.
It steals his joy. I'm just saying don't steal his joy.
Maybe you could say, I love that you want to say, hey, girl, hey. Let me show you
how to use it correctly.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, maybe she should do it more as an example, lead by example.
Or you could start a hey girl, hey game where you give terrible options of when to use it and perfect options of when to use it.
And then he would be like, oh, of course you use it.
And
when...
then he'd be like, no, that's not right. You actually do it like this.
You want to hear what KDM says?
Is she related to Leslie M?
No. Hmm. Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
If you've watched my new animated comedy special, then you'll appreciate Leslie M.
Okay. I haven't watched it, and that makes no sense to me, but I'm going to have to watch it, I guess.
Were you not planning on it?
I'm planning on it. Of course I'm planning on it.
You make time.
You want to hear what Katie
Ann
says? It's
a hit. It's a hit on home box office.
Of course it is. Do you want to hear what Katie Ann says?
You think you're the only one that gets to be on home box office with your curb, your
enthusiasm? By the way, I love that you call it home box office.
Well, of
course. Like it's 1972. Katie Ann says, it has occurred to me that the world needs the two of you to host the next presidential debate. I would die laughing as Tig welcomed everybody with a hey girl hey and a shakers please hold whenever they interrupted each other. And of course watching Cheryl keep the debate focused while attempting to read questions and pronounce things such as constituents, economic consequences, and disproportionately incarcerated would keep the mood light and stress free. I like it.
I like
I really
it. You know
like
what it.
It
reminds me of is this idea that I have. Have you been watching the Olympics?
Mm.
Okay. While I've been watching it, I had this great idea I ran by Stephanie. It made her laugh really hard. You have a pedestrian lane where just somebody draws a ticket and just any old random person competes against Olympians.
Oh. But so it's somebody who we don't know if they've
not
been training or not.
They were drinking all night with friends, and then their name gets pulled, and then they have to put on a bathing suit and dive
and jump in
and swim the four laps and in their own lane.
And everybody has to wait for them to finish before they can talk to the winner. And
then they also talk to the pedestrian who's like,
I gave it my all.
Oh my gosh.
I did my best.
Oh my gosh. And then, like, pole vault, like, see how that goes, you know. It's also similar to an idea that I had where football's fine.
Yeah.
But how much greater would it be if you put a donkey on the field? The game is going with humans, and then there's just a donkey doing back kicks and running around going,
oh my
you know,
God.
That would be a fun game.
Something to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, whatever, you know.
I'm going to say
Stephanie
you,
thinks they're funny.
I think it's something to think about.
Okay.
And
polish. Some games, sometimes during the game, the donkey isn't even in the middle of the field. It's just in a corner eating, you know.
He doesn't even know he's supposed to be doing anything.
Yeah, and then other games goes nuts and is truly running backwards, kicking frantically and making crazy donkey.
You don't know what you're getting that day.
You never know. And the commentator's like, this game, the donkey's really been hanging out in the corner and not really doing much, leaving the football players to really...
What about the football players that are real, you know, they're real athletes that have been training? Don't worry about them.
Okay. No, but of course their training will help them. Because in season training, you're also training with a donkey. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was saying that one time I was in a 5K... that I decided I was going to walk, you know, just for the... I was just going to walk for, you know, was everybody's... Some people are running, some people are walking. It was very casual. I don't even know if it was 5K. And I'm like, you know, I'm walking at a pace.
Sure.
And I'm sort of bringing up the rear. There are people behind me, but I'm not in a hurry. It's okay.
No.
It's like the other people have already run the race and it's all fine.
Right.
And then right before I get to the finish line, somebody on the side is like, hey, can we take a picture? And I said, well, of course. And I stop and I'm taking pictures. And then I see even the last person goes ahead of me, which is fine. And
sure,
then,
no big deal.
And then I finally crossed the finish line. And it was like an air horn was like, frow, 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 frow. It was like
they were waiting on you.
They were waiting on me. All these people were waiting. They couldn't leave until the last person went across the finish line. I was so confused. I was like, what is happening?
As soon as your foot crossed the line.
I was like, no, wait a second. I wasn't part of the race. And they were like, last place. What's your name? And I was like, well, you know what? No, I don't. And some people are just, you know, slightly angry because they watched me meander, especially playing like the pictures. I'm taking pictures. Last place. Anyway, it was humiliating.
Oh my gosh. I have a similar last place story.
Okay.
I did an AIDS ride. There was no. Why'd you take a sip? I was doing an AIDS ride from Montreal to Portland, Maine.
Wow.
And I was riding my bike and my knee started hurting. I was riding 100 miles.
That's ridiculous.
And so I took my foot out of the pedal and rested my foot on the fork of the bike, and I was just pedaling the last 30 miles with one leg. And I was so far behind everyone, but I was determined to finish. And all of the people that were like 900 years old or in those bikes that are like, what are those bikes where you're sitting?
The three-wheeler down
low. Yeah. You know, and a grandma with a fa-fa horn on her basket. Everyone passed. Like, everyone got in before I did.
And you were just like, I'm just determined to finish.
I was the last person. How is it that we both have a last place story? I was the last one. And my friend Shannon, who was waiting for me, she cried when I crossed the finish line just because she knew I had, you know,
done it.
I did it. I made it through.
You made it through.
Aww. I was in a lot of pain, but
that's sweet.
And then the next day was September 11th.
Wow, God, your story is terribly sad in all ways. What else do we need to do?
I think that's it.
All right, Tig.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.